There's an article I've sometimes seen in a newspaper, and I think it's called The Day That Changed My Life, or something like that. And it's basically different accounts of celebrities of how a normal day, an ordinary day, turned out to be their big break into show business or whatever. It starts in a routine fashion, and yet somehow within 12 hours or 24 hours, their whole career has taken off, and this was the day that changed their life. But it started like a normal day. In September 1975, a guy I worked with, who I got on really well with, nagged me, and he had to nag me to go on a blind date with his sister-in-law. And it was just a normal day. I wasn't fussy about going, really, but I went to please him because he kept begging me. But what turned out to be what started as a normal day, I met my wife that night, and 40-odd years later, here we are. Then I read of a soldier who was killed in the last hour of the war in 1918. For him, it was just a normal day, just fighting. He didn't know that he would die, and then an hour later, the armistice would be signed, in which case his death was just a tragic waste. He wasn't fighting for anything. Now, in our passage here in Luke, Jesus has flagged up the coming of the Son of Man, the new era, when righteousness will reign and he will judge. Then last week he warned them that before that's going to happen, he has to suffer, he has to die on Calvary, he has to pay for the sins of the people he will save, our sins if we are saved. And then he goes back to the theme of judgment and using Noah as an example. There's another day coming, yes. On Calvary, he was judged for the sins of the saved, but there's another day coming, the day of the Lord. And Jesus, using the example of Noah, for years Noah preached and warned and cajoled and urged and probably frightened them, but they carried on eating and drinking and getting married and whatever, because it was just a normal day. He'd warned them, but nothing happened. Oh, he warned us yesterday. He said the same thing yesterday, but nothing happened. We're still here. The sun is still shining. Everything's still hunky-dory. And after another normal day of Noah preaching, the deluge came. It was unprecedented. And a normal day turned out to be the most horrendous nightmare. I don't know if you're prone to nightmares. I have loads of them. This wasn't a nightmare as it happened. This was reality. But it was worse than the worst possible nightmare. A normal day turned out to be their last day. They'd been warned day in, day out. In fact, for 120 years. That morning, there was nothing different about the start of the day. Looked normal. Normal day of, oh, there he is, Noah, ranting again, there he is. I remember in the early 1980s, driving up to work, I was working in my state comprehensive. On my arrival there, the secretary came out to meet me straight away, had been waiting for me to come and said, headmaster wants to see you straight away. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, what's happened here then? I went in and one of the pupils in my registration class had been killed that morning. Well, what, at 8 o'clock, it was just like a normal day. But within 30 minutes, my mind was just a blur. I mean, I'd seen her every morning and afternoon at registering, you know. I'd seen her the previous afternoon, bubbly and chatting with her friends. And I wasn't a Christian at the time, but the shock of, well, I'd never see her again. I mean, she's a lovely kid, 15-year-old girl. And the day just went on, anything but normal. I could not concentrate in my classes. I was trying very hard to. But this normal day was anything but a normal day. You know, for a 15-year-old girl, it started normally. And yet, by the time she got to the end of the street, there'd been no hooter sounding. There'd been no fluorescent warning lights. She didn't know she was minutes from eternity. It was urgent. But you don't think it's urgent as you sit there. This is the trouble, isn't it? I read a parable that somebody had written years ago, all about a lady called Carrie. And Carrie one day has a dream about death. And she wakes up and she says to death, it's a parable, okay? She says to death, look, I promise I will not kick and scream. I will go quietly, provided that you warn me when you come in. Warn me before you come. Okay, death agrees to the deal and Carrie and death shake hands. And then some years later, death comes for Carrie. And Carrie is shocked and she starts to kick and scream and she starts to shout at death, we had a deal. I said I wouldn't kick and scream as long as you warned me. But you didn't warn me. You didn't send any warning signs. And in the parable, death says to Carrie, you studied every wrinkle in the mirror. You pulled out every grey hair. And you accuse me of not sending you any warning signs. Have you seen the warning signs? Have you taken any notice of them? I couldn't help think this week after the horrific fire in the tower block in London, you know. People went to bed on Tuesday night, some of them and never woke up. That was it. And Jesus in Luke 13 used a tower, the disaster of a tower in Luke 13, to warn people, repent, repent. That's what he said. See, Jesus warns this, his kingdom will suddenly come, just as it was in the days of Noah. People are going about their business, making money, losing money, winning elections, losing elections. Although it's hard to tell the difference at the moment, whether you win or lose, isn't it? People falling in love, people getting dumped. And suddenly the flood came. But there'd never been a flood. When Noah said, the rain's going to come. What rain? We've never had any rain. Noah had preached and preached, repent, but every day had been normal. And there was another day. Nothing ever happened. Repent before God sends the deluge. What deluge? There's never been a deluge. Shut up, Noah. You don't know what you're talking about. It's just a normal day. And then suddenly, you know, people say, don't worry about it. Don't panic. It'll never happen. But it did happen there. It happened. And there was no more time allocated for men, women, boys, and girls. No time to change their mind. Time was up. It was that urgent. And as they watched each other slowly drown, they must have hated the fact that they didn't listen to Noah. And they must have, as they looked at each other's contorted faces, must have hated each other for not warning them more. Remember somebody telling me that they'd... There was a terminally ill lady, and somebody came to visit and sat at her bed. And the lady was terminally ill, was agitated. And the visitor said, what's the matter? What's the matter, love? She said, I'm scared of hell. I'm scared I'm going to hell. And the visitor said, oh, don't worry, there's no hell. And the ill lady said, love, if you were where I am, you'd know there is a hell. Take no notice, they said, as Noah preached. Take no notice. And then the Lord slammed the door shut. If you read this, the account, the Lord closed the door, the flood came, and as Jesus reminds them here, destroyed them all. Except the eight in the ark, everybody else. See, Almighty God had one son, and that son is a savior. And you only need a savior if there's a danger. You don't need a savior otherwise. I read that there was a survey recently. 98% of the people in Britain thought they were better behaved than average. Well, that's ridiculous. How can 98% of the people be above average? That's why they don't think they need a savior, because they're good enough. Or they're not as good as they could be, but they're much better than everybody else, apparently. Jesus came to seek and to save. You're the sheep, Jesus said. See, D.L. Moody, famous preacher, eventually, in 1871, he was preaching casually in Chicago, and he was preaching about Christ, and then he said, look, I'll tell you what, I'll give you some things to think about. Come back next week, and I'll tell you then about the cross and about Jesus dying, because it wasn't a big deal to Moody at that time. And that very night, the fire started in Chicago. The church he was in was burnt to the ground. Half the city was burnt to the ground. Many people died. And Moody learned a big lesson. He learned that he would never, ever do that again. He learned that it was urgent that those people who had packed into that church that night, they needed to hear the gospel then. They needed to hear about Jesus dying on the cross then, because he said, come back next week, and most of them died. They couldn't come back next week. And there was no church to come back to. It was urgent. In the 4th century, there was a young mother. She was married to a Roman centurion. She was a Christian. She had 2 kids, a boy and a girl. The centurion was killed in battle, so she was widowed at 20. 20-year-old with 2 kids. She gave him the best education she could. She told him about Jesus. The boy became a silver-tongued or golden-mouthed preacher, Chrysostom, they nicknamed him. He came to Constantinople in 387 to preach. Within a week, there was an earthquake. He preached, repent. He used the earthquake. Repent before it's too late. Give God the glory before he brings the darkness. He preached repentance. He preached the urgency of it. And as I said earlier in Luke 13, Jesus used the tower falling. He said, oh, that was awful. The tower fell on the people. So you make sure now that God's wrath doesn't fall on you. And as I'm looking at you, trying to look at all of you. See, I remember we were on a beach mission in the mid-90s in Anglesey. And we were on the team, and there was a guy who was leading it. He called all the shots. And Monday night, he had gathered a crowd, and we all played silly games and things, people on the beach. Then Tuesday, big crowd. And I remember saying to him then, look, it's great we got a big crowd, but you need to give them the gospel. Yeah, he said. Wednesday night came, big crowd gathered. And at the end of the evening, I went up and said, look, we're gathering a crowd, but we're not telling them anything. All right, then, he said, you do it tomorrow then. Okay, I said, I will. Well, Thursday came, it rained. Tomorrow never came. For the crowd. Crowds on the beach, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all gathering. But it rained Thursday. So I don't know how that man, that leader, could go to bed and put his head on the pillow. You know, these people, they never heard. And it was a Christian beach mission. And he never told them the gospel. You know, you look at the New Testament, all the warnings from the lips of Jesus, loads and loads of times. Here, for instance, he warns of judgment because he's a savior. And he saves from hell. Yeah, he saves us from ourselves. He saves us from the wrath of God. He saves us from a meaningless life. All that. You know, people say, don't they? And I was just thinking this morning, people say, I suppose the motto today basically is live for today. But as we live it for today, we expect to be there tomorrow, don't we? I just think of one of the things, I know there's lots of politics behind it, but as they're chanting, you know, outside number 10 and whatever, and some of the poor dabs from Grenfell Towers and so on, chanting at Mrs. May, murderer, you know? I was just thinking, yeah, there's lots of things behind it, but one of the things behind it is we demand that we live tomorrow. We're expectant. In fact, we're demanding that we will still be alive tomorrow. We don't realize every day's mercy. There was a Hollywood film years ago, and I remember one line in it. Every day is one more we don't deserve. And we're thinking, out of all the film, that's spot on. You don't think like that, though. Most of you, do you? You didn't think this morning, thank you, Lord, that you spared me another day. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Because you expected, you demand to be there again tomorrow. But you're only alive right now by permission of Jesus Christ. On judgment day, when the fire falls, and it will fall, as it was in the days of Noah, the fire fell, if you like. Where will you be? Whose side will you be on? And and this is a big thing. If you're sitting there thinking, oh, I'm all right, I am a Christian. Okay, on that day when the fire falls, will there be people lost who will look at you and will they scream at you? You never said a word. See, this affects all of us here. We can't be smug and say, oh, I got my ticket, I'm fine, thanks. Have you? Are you sure you got your ticket in? Have you warned? Have you told anybody about Jesus? Have you told anybody how urgent it is? Will there be people shouting at you on that day? You never give any hint how urgent it was. You never said it was that important. I remember talking to a minister when I went to preach at his church once, big church, many years ago now, 25 years ago. I remember saying to him, you know some of the deacons in your church here, are they saved? Oh yes, I said. Well, tell me now, give me evidence. Tell me, assure me. Well, I think they are. I think they are. I said, you know, they'll stand before God, man. They'll stand before God. And you'll stand before God. I'll give an account for what you did about, look at them. As it was in the days of Noah, people just carried on. That's our life. That's what we see all the time. Oh, we're horrified, and rightly so. And we look for justice. You know, the people chanting outside, we want justice. Yeah, I know what you mean. You want justice. Whose fault this is? Oh, but you're going to have justice, man. Because he's coming. He's not coming to have a party. He's coming to judge. And every one of us has got some serious thinking to do. When was the last time, if you say you're saved, when was the last time you told anybody about Jesus Christ? That it's that simple. Jesus, like we heard in the kid's story, the only thing that pleases God is Jesus. You've either got him and he's got you, or you're in big trouble. Amen. Well, this is...